Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jim Rooney joining me for another hour here in studio. Dan Rooney's son and the author of the book, A Different Way to Win, which has been enhanced into an audio book with updated interviews, new interviews. This has been, obviously, for you, a labor of love that you've gone back and sort of put the new voices to this book, right, Jim?
Absolutely, Joe. And this, you know, it's the culmination of really 8 years of my life putting this story together. And, you know, I've got to talk to you several times throughout. And I'm really grateful to you and everyone here and who's allowed me to keep telling Dad's story. You know, it has meant a lot. I think he did some things that were special for football, special for the Steelers. But I also, hopefully, you know, Joe, you and I talk about these things. I think he found a way to, you know, be in a position of influence and treat people well. And I think we need models like that in the world. And you know, he was one I got to see up close. Mm.
Well, that brings me to these questions, which is, what do you think, and I have a couple of different categories here. What do you think your dad would think of coming back and playing games this soon after they just played three games? What do you think he would have thought if the schedule came out and the Steelers had three games in 11 days?
Well, look, my father was always very concerned about player safety. You know, he really committed to make sure that Acrisure Stadium, you know, was a grass field because he saw the data on player safety. So I know that was something that he spent a lot of time with. He had great relationships with our doctors and with folks that at, you know, is now UPMC, the Pittsburgh Medical School, you know, throughout his life. Joe Maroon was one of the first guys to really look at concussions. So player safety was always really important to him. I think he also knew, though, that, you know, we're in the entertainment business and you kind of got to go where the eyeballs are, and people now spend, you know, more time on Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, watching things in their homes. So, you know, that's where the NFL is going to be. You know, I guess you wish maybe that they thought a little bit more about some bye weeks and how bye weeks might affect these types of games. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and say Dad would have been against it, because I think he understood that from a business standpoint, you know, and you know, I talk in the book a lot about the collective bargaining agreement. He was one of the first guys to make sure the players had leverage in their negotiations. And if you're going to split this money, to some degree, you have to go where the money is, and the money is there on holidays. People, you know, we all sit around more and watch stuff. So I think that's how I feel about that one.
He was an advocate, I believe. I remember him saying this. I remember Ed Bouchette writing about it, that your dad was an advocate for an eye in the sky type of replay system, where somebody would be up there, and they kind of have that now, where we don't have to go to replay. They get an immediate ruling from essentially somebody sitting up there and say, don't even bother going to replay. You got it wrong or you got it right. Do you think he would like where replay has gone?
Well, so Roger Goodell, who was very close to my father, is a good friend, went to W&J, spent a lot of time in Western Pennsylvania, spent a lot of time with me doing interviews, and did one of the big interviews that's actually in the audiobook. So I can't get him too mad at me. I just don't understand why we spend so much time stopping. Just call it, whether it's in the sky, on the ground, or somewhere else, and just move the ball and go to whatever down it is. Like, that we're going to stop the game for these guys to explain 50 reasons why they may or may not be consistent with what we're all seeing makes no sense. Just place the ball, snap the next play. Let's keep the game going.
Do you think your dad was glad that replay came into the game? And of course, the play that launched it was a play against the Mike Renfro play. Do you think he was glad, or do you think he thought it became, a matter of maybe some unintended consequences that would arise now and again?
Well, again, in the conversation with Commissioner Goodell, we talk about my father would always tease the referees, but he had great relationships with the referees, and especially some of the folks from Pittsburgh in the off season. He wasn't hanging out with them, but they would see each other at different events. And always was good there. He understood how hard the job was. But my father, related to anything in business, but I think it could go to this one, he understood that things are never going to be perfect. And when you spend so much time trying to be perfect, you're probably going to cause yourself more problems than not. And so I think that having some ability to check to see if something was obviously happened or didn't happen is important. But when the precision, when the effort at trying to achieve precision becomes so, minute that you're basically, not likely to come up with a clear conclusion, I think that just confuses people. You don't want to confuse people that are watching your sport.
Jim Rooney, joining
me. Did I just
me?
Confuse you with that?
No. I think that was very clear that you, in the effort to achieve perfection, ironically, you might screw it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Although there's a great Vince Lombardi quote, in an effort to achieve perfection, you hope to catch excellence. Remember that quote?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that quote.
I like that quote.
I think there should be fewer games in all sports, Jim. Of course, I know I'm fighting an uphill battle there. I liked it when the NFL was 14 games. I did. And now I think they're headed toward 18 or maybe even more. How did your dad feel about that, about expanded schedules? And where do you think he'd want to cap it?
Well, I do know he told the New York Times 15 years ago that, he wasn't a big fan of the 18-game plan. Again, if you can manage player safety, if there's a way that everyone can work it out and you get, some way that everyone feels good about the safety consequences. We live in a world that's has sports 24/7. Every league, I agree with you on a general matter, every league is playing too many games, and I think it takes something away. And I think we're all going to have to get to, I think all sports will end up in a load management situation, which is going to change the rosters, is going to change the scheduling, is going to change the coaching strategy. And I don't know that the fans will be served when you spend a ton of money to fly to Pittsburgh or, go see a basketball game in Cleveland or a hockey game in Philadelphia, and the folks you were hoping to see aren't on the field.
Right. Had a question from a fan here. Are the Steelers going to play in Ireland or Germany next year? Do you know? Or what's the next international game? I haven't even been keeping track of this myself.
So I don't think it's been finalized, but I understand there's a pretty high likelihood that the Steelers, that there'll be a game in Ireland, and then there's a high likelihood that the Steelers will be one of the two teams in that game.
Hmm.
So that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to be scooping.
No, I know.
NFL media.
Please, yes. You've been to Ireland, I assume, several times?
Many, 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 many times. Yes, I was first in Ireland. I was in Ireland before I was at a Super Bowl.
Really?
Yep. So that's how long ago that was.
I took a trip there with my brother. We landed in Shannon. We went to Galway. We went to everything in the southwest part. We were there for a Van Morrison concert. home. It was a home game for him. Van Morrison singing on his home turf.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. Although the walk to the concert was like Desolation Row. It was. I've never seen a concert scene like that.
I thought
half the people were dead. They were just passed out. But it was a great show.
The Van Bob. Dylan crossover reference there. That was pretty good with the
that
Desolation
was good,
Row.
Wasn't it?
I'm liking that.
I like that too.
I saw U2 in Dublin. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my
life.
So I saw them in Croke Park, which is a historically really important stadium. And at the end of the show, so you know, Ireland's north of the United, much of the United States, so it was June, and it was light out until about midnight, and the show's ending, and this so they shoot off fireworks, but then the storm is coming in off the ocean into Dublin, and it's thundering and lightning the same time as the show's ending. It was one of the coolest moments.
Wow.
And they ended, so they sang, you know, all their great songs. This was 85, 86, something like that. All their great songs, but they ended with Help from the Beatles, and everyone in Europe, everyone knew the song, so everyone was singing along. That was a pretty cool moment.
That is awesome. I just thought of something for you. You should do a Steelers of the 70s podcast. It would be unbelievable. Unbelievable, with interviews, with your personal experiences. I think that would be incredible. Would you consider it?
I'd like to do a podcast. So,
you have a great radio voice, and you have...
And face.
Yeah, we both have faces for radio.
Exactly.
Yes. Tell me your best Jack Lambert story. I still maintain, by the way, as did Ron Cook, that Jack Lambert is the single most popular Steeler of all time. Would you agree?
He's up there. I told you this. I think I might have said this last time, though. I remember the reason I will tell a Lambert story, but the reason I am suggesting someone else is because of a personal experience.
Mm.
I might have told this last time, but I'm on this black volcanic beach in Chile, in South America.
You didn't tell me this,
okay.
No.
So I am 10,000 miles away from Pittsburgh. I'm probably 2,000 miles away from Antarctica. And
can I guess who it was?
And so I'm on this beach, and I see someone walking, and they have a black jersey on with a number.
43?
Nope.
32?
32. So I always say, okay, that weighs it pretty heavy.
Yeah,
when you're that far away, but Lambert was you know he was just so great. Jack was really good to me. Again, I had been diagnosed with diabetes, and struggled a little bit taking care of myself, which was me. It wasn't the doctors or anything, and so I had a few issues at camp, and so I'd be in the training room with Ralph Berlin. And Lambert, who was mean to everyone during training camp, kind of took me under his wing. And he'd be mean to me, but then he'd be meaner to anyone else that was mean to me. So I always felt Jack, took me under his wing, just spent a lot of time with him. Smartest guy maybe to ever play for the Steelers.
Football smarts or general smarts?
Just general, just a brilliant, brilliant guy.
Huh.
The impression is the opposite, but Jack was smarter than just about anyone I'd ever seen there.
When was the last time you talked or saw Jack Lambert?
I haven't talked to him in a little while. I know my brother talks to him occasionally. Jack doesn't talk to anyone too often.
No, he's a recluse. He's Greta Garbo.
A couple of the players, though, from the 70s, a couple of those guys you talked to yesterday.
Yeah.
I know they have some interaction with him, from my understanding.
I once left a book. I know Jack likes hockey, and he had left me a couple of notes. He used to do handwritten notes, okay? So one time I was comparing today's football. This was like 15 years ago, modern game to the 70s game. And I got his weight wrong because it was a typo. It really was. He played at like 228 or 220. And I had 208, I think.
218.
He was at 218?
Yep.
I had 208.
Yep.
So he sends me a note, sends it to the Trib where I work then. There it is, Jack Lambert. And he says, next time you write about me, get the weight right, something like that. And then at the end he said, hugs and kisses, Jack, XOXO. Then later on at Chuck Knoll's passing, he liked a story I did about how people were criticizing Bradshaw for not being around. And my take was, who am I to critique how somebody deals with either grief or deals with whether or not they go to somebody's funeral they used to work with that they want to or not? You know, it's not my, I didn't think it was my place to critique it. He liked that. And he sent me back the article with a yellow highlighter, the parts he liked. And again, at the end, put hugs and kisses, Jack, with the XOXO. It was, I still have the letters, needless to say.
Well, I know he was a crazy hockey fan. And, you know, we just lost Tony Parisi, who was, you know, the Steelers equipment manager, but he was a goalie for the Pittsburgh Barons. And, you know, that's how Parisi ended up with the Steelers. He was a goalie here in Pittsburgh first. That's what brought him out of Canada. And Jack and Tony had a fantastic relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know how much Tony got him into, you know, Jack played in some of those beer leagues.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he loved it, apparently.
Yeah, and Tony kind of, it's my understanding, got him all the equipment, got him kind of ready for all that. So,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
That was fun, and Tony was, you know, great, great guy. Another guy in that locker room. You talk about guys that people don't know about that had a big influence. You know, Ralph Berlin, our trainer, Tony Parisi, Joe Gordon, who we talked about. You know, all those guys dealt with these guys on a daily basis on things that were important to their career, their health, their equipment, their public perception. And, you know, it was cool to see. I learned something, you know, we talk about the fun side of the locker room, but about professionalism. You know, there's a time to give someone a hard time, tease, joke around with them, but there's a time that those guys just really understood their careers, how important their careers were, how to get them ready, how to prepare them, how to give them thoughts on how to take care of their body or take care of themselves in public in ways that, you know, I think each of them would say, you know, they were mentors and sort of a daily aspect of my life. We talk about my dad and Chuck, and you know, I think they were both critical. But you know, Tony Parisi, Ralph Berlin, you know, Joe Gordon, as I said, they probably spent a lot more time on a daily basis with each player, and you know, had huge influences on all those guys' lives.
I don't know how those guys survived that day and age to play as many years as they did, so many of them, because A, we weren't advanced nearly as far as we are now medically, like with a simple knee injury or something, knee surgery. And then B, all the hitting they did in training camp and practices, and they still played 14 games, 17 if you were the Steelers. I don't know how they survived, Jim, to have the careers they did.
I remember joking with Mel at something, saying, you know, it was harder to be a ball boy in the 70s than it is to be a player with the practice restrictions now. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, two-a-days, you know, with full contact in that last half of practice or last 20 minutes of practice, every practice.
Yeah.
Twice a day, you were having a high school level football game with professionals just hitting each other. I know a couple guys that tried out that made it for a couple weeks, and you know, talked to them after, and they said, you know, I was good in college. I know a couple kids were Ivy League players, and they said, you know, there was nothing like that last half of practice. Like, that made me see I wasn't ready for this aspect of the world. I thought it was good, and
wow.
You know, just get you know, knocked down, and it was brutal. You know, you can't do it anymore. I'm glad we look out for the players the way we do. The advancements are the right thing for their bodies, for their lives long term. But I do think on sort of a daily basis, people knew how to fall. They knew how to get hit. They knew how to roll in a way that now these guys just get smacked and they're not used to it because it only happens on Sunday, you know?
Yes, exactly. Jim Rooney.
There's probably some expert that can counter what I just said, but it seems that way.
Yeah. And you were there watching it all. Jim Rooney joining me for one more segment here. His book, A Different Way to Win, about his father, Dan Rooney, who really shaped the Steelers, I guess, by the hiring of Chuck Knoll is what changed everything, correct? The day after that Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was that. Chuck, I think, taught us how to win. And I think that was important because I think the goal was always to win. But I think my father, you know, was the architect. I think he saw what a great organization would look like. You know, he was in meetings with Vince Lombardi, with, you know, George Halas, with the guys that had been so successful, Paul Brown. And, you know, the chief was a great promoter, but I don't think he looked at a 24-hour, you know, seven days a week, 24 hours, 365, the way my father did. And I think my father built that vision out for the organization. And then knowing what he wanted, he hired the perfect guy in Coach Knoll. And then I give my father credit then for knowing to hire Coach Cower and Coach Tomlin, because that is how things were sustained. Was, you know, we could have been a one and done good team. Mm-hmm. But I think we created something beyond that because he understood you had to do something more if you were really going to be special. But yes, there's no question that Coach Knoll, you know, as my Uncle Art, you know, who was a great scout, talks about it was like Moses coming down from the mountain.
Right, and
holding the water, the Red Sea.
That was the
analogy he used.
Well, and that was your dad who had to recognize that and make the right hire at that point because, you know, to that point, in Steeler history, the right hire was hardly ever made at coach. And that was, you were telling me last time you were here that the choices were plentiful at that point. And there were some pretty interesting names like Joe Paterno, right?
Yep, absolutely. And before that, as I said, the chief who was really good at promoting, but we had 16 coaches from 1933 to 1968.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, teams that change their coaches, you know, every other year. Now, they believe the Jock Sutherland from Pitt was a great coach, but he got sick and retired and then passed away soon after. So maybe it would have changed 15 years earlier had Jock Sutherland stayed healthy, but he didn't. And, you know, you had all these coaching changes. And then since then, you know, you have the stability, the continuity. Those things are, I think, important to successful cultures. There's other things you need, but those are elements that are foundational.
Let's finish up with Jim Rooney next, the book again, and it's now the enhanced audio version of the book is a different way to win, with interviews with everybody from Roger Goodell, Joe Green, Rocky Blyer, Mel Blunt. Who else?
The great Judy Batista from NFL Network. Judy and I sit down.
She's great.
I love Judy. So
the late, great Franco Harris, of course.
Absolutely. And then we have a couple other folks from the business world, some lawyers that were involved in the process, the Rooney Rule about finding opportunity. Jeremy Duru, who is a law professor at American University, he, Judy and I sit down at the end of the book. So, I think folks will really enjoy, they may not enjoy hearing me read for 6 hours. But they'll enjoy the interviews in between.
Yeah, they get. You have a good voice. You have a great radio voice, and they'll get all the other ones.
I hope they like my reading, but the interviews really do make it special.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's the Pomp and Joe Show with Jim Rooney. Sean Myers to my left, doing a wonderful job here today. 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome. We're going to make some predictions. And I've also got this kid. Was it from West Green the other day? Is that where
yes,
it was?
Yes, it was. West Green Pioneers.
Who made the most phenomenal basketball shot I think I've ever seen. I'm going to check on that because there was one that I'm remembering where a guy, I can't remember whether he was sitting down in something ridiculous like that. Where he was he fell and was sitting in the corner and threw one in. I think this might have been the greatest basketball shot in the history of the sport. We're going to talk to him in the 1 o'clock hour.
I have a West Green story for you.
Can you tell it next? That would be great. I didn't think we were going to get two West Green stories out of this. Did you, Sean?
I did not, but you never know what you're going to get on this show.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd. With credit through GM Financial, light rain possible, high of 40, mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 32. And as Sean Myers adds, good weather for Santa, right at the freezing mark.